Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Wow, it's already June 1st in the year of our Lord, 2023. Incredible. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you also know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. But we also stand for the proper role of limited government. With the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, we believe we can peacefully restore the country. The only question left is, will you help us? Will you fund us? Will you get involved? Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Sam Bushman. A quick recap of yesterday's show. I had on James Edwards with me, well-known talk show host in his own right. He talks about politics in the 21st century, race, politics, a whole lot more. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his award-winning broadcast website. Check that out. Not only is he a weekly talk show host, Saturday evenings, but we talked in detail for 2 hours about Operation Destroy Agency, sadly, is well underway. And we talked about projection. Projection is the process of displacing one's feelings or actions onto a different person, animal, or object. And these criminals that want to destroy America are using projection to lie about who we are. The things that they're doing to destroy the country, they claim we're doing to destroy the country. It's an absolute lie. So we talked about one of the books James wrote, Racism, Schmacism, and it highlights how they're using race against us all. They know we're not racists, but they also know that it sidelines us in the discussions of the day. Therefore, they can just attack us rather than have real arguments backing their agenda. See, the people can learn the truth if we can just stay on target and stay focused, right? Anyway, we also talked about another book that James has been involved in. He's one of the authors of this book called The Honorable Cause. It's an incredible book, The Honorable Cause, A Free South, 12 Southern Essays. And the reason for the book is they believe, hey, you know what? The enemies of liberty, the enemies of who we are, have been telling our story forever. We want to set the record straight and tell it from our perspective. It's a great book, available now on Amazon and all fine bookstores. Now, we also talked about persona non grata, unauthorized flags in America today. We talked about the Gadsden flag. Don't tread on me, if you will. It's the revolutionary flag to a great degree. And then we talked about the flag of the Confederate States of America. The Confederate flag. Some call it a battle flag. But I highlighted the interesting reality that, you know what? The battle flag is really the rainbow flag. It's got seven colors of the spectrum. And their goal is to assemble everybody to their battle flag. Except for the Christians who will stand for truth. The truth is their agenda is hostile to the family of God Almighty. It is subversive at best. But the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and Q, whatever you want to call that, groups across the United States are now considering a, quote, new battle flag, an updated one, meant to be, quote, more inclusive. Christians that won't stand for their faith and for biblical truth will be included. But Christians who stand on male and female credity them, Christians who stand on the gay and lesbian lifestyle literally destroys the God-ordained traditional family. Well, they want to be inclusive of everybody, including the transgender community and the people of color community. I'd like to be inclusive that we're all Americans and we stand for the principles of God, family, and country. But see, anybody that stands up for traditional God-ordained values will be shunned and will not be included in their big tent. You can go along to get along and think you're just being kind, but eventually they will betray you. Write it down. Remember who told you first. We talked about a new commentary created at the Federalist. It's warning that, quote, June, Pride Month, which starts today, is becoming something much more sinister. Yes, indeed, your children will have the same worldview as Greta Thunberg. That's a little environmentalist, autistic girl that thinks that, you know, adults have ruined the country and they're terrorists. That's right. And you will be happy in that, quote, mandatory view. Yeah, that's what they want at the World Economic Forum. That's what they want with Greta Thunberg's climate change. That's what they want with the gay and lesbian agenda. They first say, just please be kind to us. Please let us have a seat at the table. Now that they're gaining more and more and more control, they're saying, shut up, Christians, go away. You're a bigot. You're an enemy. You're a hater. They will eventually, they'll include enough people to gain their power seats. And then they will turn on everybody that doesn't 100% lockstep go along with their satanic agenda. Yeah, you don't believe me? How about this? Godlessness. Super popular Christian TV show, The Chosen, defends gay pride flag on set. Unapologetically supports sexual depravity and has no problem promoting homosexuality. WorldNet Daily with the piece, and the Daily Caller has the piece as well. The Chosen defended having a gay pride flag on set. They faced criticism on social media. John Root, a Christian conservative, asked them, what the heck is going on? Why do you have that on set? A Chosen Twitter account said, we will work with anyone on our show. So here's the question. If you'll work with anyone, will you work with the pornography industry? Will you work with the folks that promote the Gadsden Don't Tread on Me flag? How about those who promote the Southern States flag? Huh? Nah, not those guys. They're evil. So will you work with the abortionists that want to murder babies? See, will you work with the transgender folks that literally are mutilating children's body parts? Fox News has gone woke, full woke as well, with, quote, gender rules that have been in place since 2021. Yeah, they're literally forcing gender neutrality, gender dysphoria, gender, quote, identity over God-ordained male and female credit to them. Fox has caved as well. The Boy Scouts melted down. Look where they are now. Now you've got The Chosen and Fox. I say go woke, go broke. Chick-fil-A has been woke for years. Most folks didn't want to admit it. And now they're backing this, quote, diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Okay. What is diversity? It's a buzzword for everybody but the Christians. Yeah, what about equity? That's a buzzword. Instead of equality now, it's equity. Doesn't need to be equal. It's payback time for special groups, right? This is all a big lie designed to marginalize anybody that stands with Christ. You will eventually be required to deny the Christ or you will be attacked. The good news is Americans are starting to fight back. Bud Light sales continue to plunge because of the boycott over this transgender advertising partner Bud Light promoted. Associated Press literally changes facts in Target story. Target claimed violence by conservatives in Target controversy. Turns out there was no violence. They had to admit it. They got caught. Well, the Associated Press just changes the narrative, dishonestly manipulates the truth. So they've jettisoned the who, what, when, where, not, why news agency reporting. And now they're woke and engaged in dishonesty to promote the agenda so they don't get smashed as well. Yeah, why is the Associated Press morphed from news reporting into, quote, issue advocacy is the question. Target has joined companies now not like Disney in the perversion, in the child abuse of small children. by maturely or prematurely exposing them to adult sexuality, homosexuality, transvestites, drag queens, transsexuals, all manner of perverted agendas. Any corporation or individual that promotes this is guilty of child abuse, folks. But see, how many have the guts to stand up and tell you that like we do at Liberty Roundtable Live? June is now Pride Month in America. 2% of the population choose to manipulate their sex organs against God's law. And we celebrate it as Pride Month. And if you stand against it, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're evil. Target is lying to you, though. They claim they jettisoned working with Satanists, but Satanists are developing the new product lines for the transgender agenda at Target. Target tries to hide the transgender, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender clothing for kids, but conservative videos expose them. It's just steps away for kids. Now Target stock collapses to its lowest level in over a year. Target loses $90 billion in a single week. Move over, Disney and Bud Light. Here's the new number one, that's Target. Parts of the Target collection were created by a Satanist, Eric Carnell. The Pride displays are linked to Target's promotion of the Pride celebration. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. There is common sense somewhere. We'll talk about it.
Soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by Confederate Church of Christ.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So if that is not enough to get you to boycott Target, I don't know what is. Target's clothing for the transgenders promoted big time to little children, literally bulge in the crotch in female swimming suits, designed for men to, quote, tuck their genitals and pretend they're women. It's psychotic, folks. That's all at Target. And the clothing line was developed by a Satanist, openly declared Satanist. Well, then Target tries to say, no, we got rid of all that. We severed our partnership with the Satanist, and we don't have these. We're taking these clothing out of our stores. Conservatives with video are proving they lied. They got caught. It's a disgrace, ladies and gentlemen. But the good news is common sense Americans are standing up for themselves and committing to the action, get woke, go broke, by boycotting Target, Disney, Bud Light, and more. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Welcome. That's the common sense you're looking for, isn't it, sir?
It is. It's crazy. Disney and Target and Budweiser, all these companies that feel like they have to go to this agenda, and the agenda is just such a small percentage of all of us as human beings here. I don't know why they keep pushing it, on us when we don't want it.
Well, I think the reason that they're willing to is because I believe that there are people in key powerful positions in corporate world and government that are aligning against those who don't go along. And literally the repercussions are tremendous. And the question is, can you stand under that kind of fire? Kelly Finnegan, welcome. Can we stand under that kind of fire, Kelly?
Well, some will and some won't. But, we've talked about the summertime soldier will wilt in the sun. So some will and some won't. We'll just have to see.
All right. Are you going to go ahead and have transgender coins in your shop, Brian?
Mine are X, Y. X and Y, that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, one side's X, the other side's Y there. I just kind of find it interesting how they want to apply this to everything. So you would have to have a coin instead of George Washington on it or whatever. You'd have to have a coin that had a transgender on it, right?
Yeah, there you go. It ain't happening.
You know what we'd call it? We'd call it shim gold. A she and a him. It's shim gold.
You
and
got
the
it.
Slogan would be shim gold shimmers, Kelly.
Well, my daughter had a doctor that was a man trying to be a woman, and she called it a she, he, it, and she put that together, and he came up with the word that kind of sounds something you can't say on the radio.
There you go. Wow. Wow. Well, hey, this guy is a man, and he's decided to resign from Congress. Utah Rep. Chris Stewart, GOP congressman, announced he will resign, and it will reduce the Republicans' majority in Congress there in the House. I guess a goodbye to Chris Stewart. The question is who they're going to appoint in his place. What do you say to all that, Kelly?
Well, according to the state constitution, they have a week to get a special election done. So it'll probably be another Republican, and the people in that district will elect someone. But they've already had something like 11 or 14 people step up and say, hey, I want to run. So we'll see what happens. He was the one picked if Mitt Romney decided not to run. So that opens up a whole new can of worms.
There you have it. All right, Brian, where's gold sitting right now, sir?
Hey, first of all, Sam, are you going to – can you run? Can we get you on the on the ticket?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'll tell you why I can't run. And the reason why I can't run is because I am a alpha male. And as a result, as an alpha male, I don't qualify. I'm just not part of the in crowd. First off, they don't even want to admit that I'm male and he created me. God did. See, if they can't acknowledge that God created me and that I'm a male, I don't think I can run, Kelly, and or Brian.
Well,
probably not.
Because I can't run as a she, he, it. Can I?
No, child of God. You run as a child of God, and you get out there, and we get behind you, and we keep pushing, kicking this can.
What do you think? Are you going to run under that banner, Kelly? You're a child of God, replace Chris Stewart?
Yeah. Well, it depends on which district in Utah you run under. Some it wouldn't work, but others it would, So the way it's gerrymandered, we'd have to see, but there's a few you could win that way, but there's a few you'd get destroyed. You could never be mayor of Salt Lake City.
That's for sure. Whoa, man. By the way, is mayor inherently an evil word? It just kind of shows some lordship, don't you think, Brian?
Yeah, maybe. I think
because you know what they say, don't you? Tell me what goes with the word mayor usually. It rhymes, kind of. It's an alliteration. Do you know what it is, Kelly?
Yeah, isn't it a female horse?
No, it's transgender mayor. No, I'm just kidding. It's Mr. Mayor, isn't it?
Isn't that what they say? Mayor.
Well, it is, but
have you heard of that?
Is a female horse.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Wait a minute. You can't have female horses. Horses are identifying as non-binary. You ever seen a non-binary horse, Brian?
Not if you
no,
want more
horses. There a Mr. Ed? Wasn't there a Mr. Ed?
Wait a minute. You can't have Mr. Ed. Hey, where's Silver sitting?
Silver's $23.91.
$23.91, that's up a bit, right?
That's there again, the yo-yo effect. We still
$23.91.
I was going to say that Silver's sitting under the Lone Ranger, isn't it? Isn't Silver under the Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Haven't you watched the TV show?
Yeah,
Hi-Oh
but that
Silver?
Is like a male, right?
Hi-Oh Silver?
But I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Silver wasn't a mare.
We got a whole lot to fix. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know how we're going to overcome all this, you know? All right, where's Gold?
1981-10.
Sounds like the year. 1981-10.
Yeah.
That's up a bit too, right?
Yeah, I think it's up a bit as well. Yep. Well, we're yo-yoing around. I've been gone for the last couple of days. I'm trying to get back in. I just took my dad on the honor flight out to D.C. Met with, Mike Lee was out there, shook our hands and talked to us. My dad was, happy about that. And a lot of the veterans that went out on that flight, they were all pretty excited.
Did you ask him about
Mike
honest
Lee.
Money?
They showed. We talked about a few of the things. He didn't have a lot of time to spend, because there were 60 vets and trying to get down. And he wanted to see all of it. I found it very interesting. They showed Mitt Romney on the news about, that and the honor flight in Utah. Mitt never showed up. He wasn't there at all, but they flashed him on TV. I thought, well, that's very interesting. Mitt didn't show up, but Mike was out there and spent the time with us, as much time as we needed. It was awesome.
Well, we commend Mike Lee for showing up, for making things matter that matter. In fact, Mike Lee was against the passage of the debt ceiling raise. Mitt Romney was for it. Utah's quite divided, that's for sure. But the House overwhelmingly passed legislation in a 314 to 117 vote to suspend the debt ceiling. Now, listen to me carefully. Here's what I find interesting about this. Ready? The bill would defer the federal debt limit for 2 years, allowing the government to borrow, quote, unlimited sums as necessary to pay its obligations. What do you think about that, Brian?
Well, it's pathetic, realistically that we're allowed, if this debt ceiling keeps growing. And I thought, the speaker was totally against kind of what they were pushing and so on and talking this agenda, and continuing to talk and say, we're not going to go with this thing. And then now he just kind of caves, but it seems like he was, you go back in his watching his record and so on. And he was always about pushing the debt further, to further that debt. And, and he says, well, the Democrats are very upset, with this bill for them and so on. Well, are they? The IRS is going to hang on to $80 billion in increased funding, and there's all kinds.
Yeah, it turns out that Joe and Kevin are BFF, best friends forever. Kelly's response in seconds. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. A divided U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill to suspend the $31.4 trillion debt ceiling last night, with a majority support from both Democrats and Republicans to overcome opposition from both parties. The House voted 314 to 117 to approve the measure. The Senate now has the document and could vote as early as today. 165 Democrats and more than 149 Republicans who voted for it backed the measure and pushed it through. FBI Director Christopher Wray continues to ignore a House Oversight Committee subpoena and could be held in contempt soon. A whistleblower alleges the document the FBI is hiding involves then-Vice President Biden for taking $5 million in foreign money in exchange for policy votes. The FBI claims the unclassified document is protecting human assets. Chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, James Comer on Fox News.
We've seen a pattern of Joe Biden, when he was vice president, leaving a country after he talks about foreign aid and foreign policy, and his family members start receiving payments from that company. We saw that in Romania. We've seen that in China. We've seen that in other countries. That would suggest that this allegation has merit.
A proposed rule aims to make automatic emergency brakes mandatory in all new vehicles. John Schaefer reports.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration believes this could significantly reduce pedestrian crashes and rear-end collisions. Their estimates show it could save 360 lives and prevent 24,000 injuries annually. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg compares this innovation to seatbelts and airbags, expecting a major impact.
Jordan's highly anticipated royal wedding got underway this morning between Crown Prince Hussein and his 29-year-old Saudi Arabian bride, Rajwa Al-Saf. This is USA News.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firms online at CordellCordell.com. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. Online at CordellCordell.com. CordellCordell.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs. And if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-284-9275. That's 800-284-9275.
Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So they've raised the debt ceiling, kind of. They didn't really raise it because you see, there's no top. In other words, there's no ceiling. What they really did was do away with it for the next couple of years, Kelly.
Yeah, and it's funny, the people that voted for it were the ultra-liberal Democrats and the conservative Republicans, and they voted against it for two different reasons. Because they both wanted it their way, and so the people that compromised in the middle said, okay, we'll let Joe do this to our country for a couple more years. But they just wanted to get this behind them so they can get working on their reelections.
Brian, you want to respond to this? They literally jettisoned the debt ceiling, sir.
Well, they just, you know, it gets down here and, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to have to shut down. I say you shut down the government or whatever for a time. Let's get more pressure on the people because, you know, it's going to affect a lot of people. And I just think that, you know, they don't care. I mean, they're just going to have to print more money, right? These obligations, it's more rapid devaluing this dollar. It's going to continue to go. They're going to print more money so they can fill more. Yeah, trillions more dollars a year. I don't care.
Where do we go from here? Because one of the interesting things about this debt ceiling is that they passed the next election as well. In other words, they voted for it to be long enough not to be discussed in the next election cycle. Why would Republicans allow that or go for that, Kelly? That's insanity.
We lose Kelly?
Yeah, what do you think, Brian? Why would we allow that to ever happen?
Well, I think elections. He talked about, you know, elections. They're going to work on getting reelected, right? So let's not talk about this. Let's get these people back in so we can continue to move, kick this can down the road. I don't know. Kelly's back. What do you think, Kelly?
Well, yeah, like I said, they just want this out of the way so that they can worry about getting reelected, and this isn't one of the issues they have to deal with. And if somebody brings it up, they're going to say, hey, we took care of that. You know, that'll be on the next president's shoulders, you know, or whoever. So it's, in the first place, they're politicians. And they want to get reelected because that's their job. And they're alpha males like Sam. And they get in there and they want to keep going and keep going and keep going. So they'll do what they got to do to keep going and keep going and keep going. And it's an us versus them, and it's not Democrats. It's the legislators versus the people.
The question becomes what happens after the next election cycle is interesting, too, because if there's not really a debt ceiling, what's going to require them to, quote, visit it again? Does that make sense? I mean, I know they say, well, it only lasts for 2 years and then it expires or whatever. But all the president's got to say is two things. One, there hasn't been a debt ceiling for 2 years. I'm going to just take case precedent. We don't need a debt ceiling. Congress already said we didn't need one. I'm just going to go ahead and not have one. Or the president could say the 14th Amendment says that I can pay all debts and I don't have to pay attention to Congress anymore. Every time we turn around, Congress literally, I don't know what you want to say, but criminally steps out of the way while others take their authority and run with it. Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, they just try to pawn it off on somebody else being the problem. And they've already had people saying, you know, we can print. We don't need to have a debt ceiling. This is really just putting, you know, unneeded drama into the lives of politicians and just making them, you know, point fingers at each other and making the public worry and investors worry. Well, let's just get rid of it. And, yeah, go ahead and do that. We'll see what happens. And then you'll have to come back around where they're going to have to stop it. There comes a point where you run out of road and you hit a wall. You know, this isn't a throughway. This is a cul-de-sac. And you can't turn around and go back. You're gonna run into a wall.
Brian, I don't know how to respond to this, though. What's going to stop them from making the debt ceiling gone permanently with this in place? How do you stop it? At some point, they'll just say, look, we haven't had a debt ceiling forever. We're not bringing it back.
Well, that's probably what their agenda. You know, it's probably on the, you know, let's just keep kicking this can until they don't want to hear about it anymore. Usually it's like these things that pop up and we talk about them for a week or two or a month or so, and then you don't hear anything about them, you know, and then they kind of go away, even though they don't go away. And we wish there'd be some, we'd be able to solve some of these issues, but they, you know, the news pushes it out there and then we talk about it for a little bit and then it goes away. And yet realistically, you know, accountability would be nice. Common sense would be nice. A lot of these things, but we've already determined that this agenda, this government and so on, the common sense has gone out the window. So if we think there's going to be some middle ground here where we can maybe get our feet, you know, to move this, you know, pendulum away from, you know, where we are and start, you know, solving this debt issue and so on. I just think it's a joke. Continues to be a joke every time
now,
it pops up.
There's a few things, Brian, I find interesting about this. They say that the Republicans gained a bunch of concessions. And I guess they're going to save $1.5 trillion over 10 years. They're not saving anything, Brian.
That's right. That's right. They're not saving anything. That's what I'm saying. It sounds good. See, the words go out to a lot of these people. Oh, it sounds good. Yeah, they're making some look. What do you, you know, why are we complaining about this or so on? But it's not good. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, we're going to
continue to pay for these wars. Let's send more money to Ukraine. They need more. Let's just keep pumping money around the world. Let's start. I mean, how about we take care of our own and start, you know, accomplishing some of those issues. But anyway, that's another story. But I mean, you just print more money.
Kelly, I want to go to you on this too. Think about it. 1.5 trillion over 10 years, but listen carefully to the words of this, because you got to really kind of nuance this into a real discussion. All right, let me kind of say this to you. Congress has cut discretionary spending, or discretionary funding is what they call it. They don't even call it spending, right? Discretionary funding by $1.5 trillion over 10 years. Your response to that, Kelly?
Well, all that is, it means they move piles of dollars from one place to another and then sprinkled a few more dollars on there so you don't notice that you made a new pile for something else. And, you know, and the thing that's going to stop this is the law of economics. There's nothing they can do. They're not going to do anything, and the American people don't want them to not do anything. But the time's going to come when the piper needs to be paid. And that's when the it hits the fan. And it's coming. They don't want it to happen on their watch, but it's coming. So it's just moving piles of money around. You know, it's smoke and mirrors. And they're
really
good at it.
Yeah, Chris Stewart resigned. It certainly isn't on his watch. Things were good when he was there. You know what I'm talking about? Relatively speaking, I guess it'll be true, right, Brian?
Well, he was one of the guys that voted this, so he's responsible.
That's right.
But, yeah.
But now he doesn't have to. that's good.
And he can probably get hired by the news pundits so he can go on TV and go, oh, those guys are irresponsible up there. I can't believe they're doing that to us.
Sit right next to Jason Chaffetz.
Wow. So discretionary funding, another $1.5 trillion over 10 years. How much is that really? $1.5 trillion over 10 years and $1.5 billion a year, right?
Well, it's
very interesting. $150 billion. $150 billion every year.
Is that what it is, $150 billion?
Yeah, because a billion is a thousandth of a trillion.
Yeah. $1.5 trillion over 10 years. But here's the question. How many legislative sessions will be between now and then, and will they change it?
It won't be changed.
It won't.
No reason to. It's done.
All right.
That's right.
Senator Rand Paul brings up something interesting. He says, what about personal versus government checkbooks? When we get back, let's have Brian respond to that. Then I want to talk about Mike Lindell for a second. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky, says, what about personal checkbooks versus government checkbooks? And I'm imagining this scenario with that statement, Brian. You know, the bank calls me and they say, Sam, you bounced a check. And I just simply respond and say, not possible. They say, what are you talking about? You bounced a check, sir. No, not possible. Don't you know I raised the debt ceiling on my checkbook? I just went ahead. It's fine. You know, this is the interesting thing. How do we think we can do this with government or the largesse when you can't do that personally, Brian? It's criminal to do so.
Well, I mean, if we're going to look at their example, and they want us to kind of follow their lead, isn't that what we can do then? We can just say, well, hey, you know, we're raising that on our checkbook here. And no, they default on us. They come and take our house or we close our business. Because if I run my business like that, I'm out of business. And so, but that's okay. But it's a double standard. That's what it is.
Yeah, Kelly, you just tell them it's not possible. I raised the debt ceiling on my checkbook. Didn't you get that memo? In fact, I didn't even raise it this time. I just suspended it.
There's a big difference, though. You can't print your own money. See, that's the difference. They can print their own, and they'll just print more and more and more. And then they decide, hey, you know what? We're not going to pay you this much that we agreed to. We're going to pay you less. And, hey, I'm going to charge you more, which is tax, to help pay for this. And so they make up all the rules. So it's easy for them to do it. If you can make the rules, if you're the king, you can do what you want.
Yeah, they say he who holds the gold makes the rules, Brian.
King Midas.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
There
hey,
you have it.
Yeah, I find it interesting that, why would I be, on the radio talking about let's get this thing under control and stop spending and get back to this honest money. But in reality, for me, isn't it better for my business if the dollar continues to crash? And they go, yeah, it is probably. I mean, panic and everything. Everybody's going to want a little piece of this. Metal pie, I would say, but no, I I'm an American. I think it's important that we try to get back to saving our country and making it great again instead of, destroying it as we've seen in other countries and kind of where they end up. Venezuela's probably not very happy. Weren't they the third richest country in the world? Now they're not doing all that well. And our country's bankrupt and we're just allowing this to happen because we have these people in Washington D.C. who realistically don't care because it really doesn't affect them. They can get on their yachts and planes and fly here and go there. And anyway, I'm rambling now, but yeah,
your point's well taken, Brian. And last week you brought up these World War II type nickels. It's a nickel. It's 35% silver. They cost $1.50 to get one of them. At least they did last week. 7 cents above melt or spot, if you will, for these nickels. I did some research on them. They're pretty interesting nickels. Each one of them worth about $1.50 that you can buy right now, really on the open market, more like probably $2 day in and day out, right, for a nickel.
Yeah. And, back in 1980, I remember, gas stations, R.C. Willie Smith, all those people were taking as an exchange, for product and so on. And as long as we continue to print these worthless fiat currency and we get to here, yeah, maybe, you know, that's a little thing that you can tuck away that will have value that you walk down the street and, yeah, a loaf of bread maybe is this nickel, right? And so it's those are things I think that, you know, I'm not saying put all your eggs in one basket, but that's definitely something that could help.
You got a bunch of those nickels still?
Yeah.
All right. Those nickels are available, ladies and gentlemen, rustcoinandgift.com. What else is available? What about 1 ounce rounds? What are they going for now? If you get like a Liberty or a Sunshine Mint or whatever the heck, what about those 1 ounce rounds that say 99.9 Troy silver ounce or whatever? How much are they going for right now?
They're around that 28.50 range, unless you buy quantity. I get them in boxes of 500. That's, you know, I go through a ton of that stuff. But yeah, so a person that wanted to come in and buy a box of 500 is going to get a little, you know, obviously a discounted rate, as opposed to somebody perhaps just wanting one or two or five or 10 or something to that effect. But yeah.
What are they a piece if you do 500? $25 or 26 or seven or what?
No, they're probably a dollar. You probably save a dollar. I mean, it, in reality, it may doesn't sound a lot like dollars. I mean, no big deal. But yeah, $500, you save $500 or someone. But it's those premiums we've seen have kind of spread. So the buy sell premium has gotten bigger, and your five major wholesalers and stuff, those premiums have kind of gotten bigger. Time to get it, produce it, the demand for it.
Yeah, ship it. The whole list goes on and on and on. There's a whole infrastructure behind making it happen, folks. That's why there is a spread. That's why there is kind of a premium on some of this stuff. Availability matters. All that kind of goes into the big mix. But 500 times 27, just say, 13,500 gets you 500 of those babies, 500 ounces of silver, right?
Yeah.
About. Now, again, when I make a statement like that on the radio, don't hold us to the numbers. The spot price changes every day. So does the availability of these coins, and some are more are harder to get than others. Kelly, what do you think? 500 of those 1 ounce rounds, or a bunch of nickels, or both?
For me, I like the rounds. You know, that's me personally. You know, everybody has their preference, and we don't know how the scenario is going to work out. That's why it's good to have your bases covered. You know. Diversify, not just in precious metals, but really everything. You know, we don't like to eat the same thing every day. So if you're putting food away, make sure you have some spices and different things that you and your family like. So, you know, don't put just one thing away.
Yeah, don't go hashtag tuna too hardcore, folks. There's other things out there. You know, Brian, I like the nickels because to me a 1 ounce round is great. They're worth, say, you know, $30 right now or $28. But if times get tough before you know it, a 1 ounce round is going to be worth a couple of $100. I think the nickel might be worth more like $20 at that point and stuff like that. You're going to have smaller denominations. So I agree with Kelly, a variety of different things is the way to go, depending on what you're doing with it, right?
But you know
Correct.
What, Jeff?
I like
it might be $20 a gallon then, too.
You're right.
You know, gas can be $20 a gallon, so we don't know.
Right, one thing I like about the nickels as well is, you know, not everybody can afford maybe a round even, you know, with things that are affecting their bottom line. Maybe there's a, you know, somebody that can, you know, I can buy 10 nickels today. I can't buy a round, but I can buy 10 nickels, right, you know, and so on. And so maybe that would be, it's kind of like copper. Some people, they say copper's the poor man's silver. Well, maybe but maybe a nickel would be something where they could afford. I kind of look at, it's like dimes, quarters, and halves. Right now, that premium on dimes, quarters, and halves has really climbed. And so that's, right now, you're probably paying about $35 an ounce if you were to buy the 90% silver dimes, quarters, and halves. Well, here's an opportunity to buy some of that, you know, denomination, all these nickels.
By the way, do they have a silver penny?
Well, they have a steel cent. It's not silver, but
I know. But the cheapest silver you can get is a nickel,
right?
A nickel, and it's literally 35% silver. So basically, 1/3 silver. You're getting, you know, basically 2 cents worth of silver in real money, right?
Right. I mean, you could buy a gram, but then it's not, you know, it's just like a bar that's the 1 gram bars. But as far as real money, yeah, the nickel is it. I guess you'd buy 3 centies, but that's a lot more money.
Yeah, that's where we used to say a buck 380, you know what I mean? Them 3 cent pieces, you know.
Right. That's right.
But I find it interesting, though, a nickel, though, $1.50 is kind of the minimum to get into the game. And you can say, well, what are you doing for your portfolio? And the answer is, I'm buying a nickel a month, man. I pay $1.50 for every one of them. People go, have you lost your mind? Until they understand that it's real money. And then people go, whoa, them nickels are worth more than $1.50 because they're as close to spot or as close to melt as anything else on the market. If not, you know, and you kind of celebrate the World War II era coming out of World War II, still honest money back then being used in society. It's really a time to kind of turn back to in many ways and look at and go, wow, things were better then, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. I you know, I kind of, on this honor flight, we were out, we were looking at the Vietnam Memorial there and so on. And I asked the question, you know, I see these pennies, I see a nickel and I see a dime. That are laid out on these memorial walls for picture. The people's names are on the wall, but they also have pictures in front of the wall. And someone, one of the, we call them the red shirts. They were our kind of our group leaders, and they said that people that want to support that individual, you know, and that family, they put a penny and say, "Yeah, we support you and what you're, you know, and sorry for your loss, and we want to acknowledge, you know, your person here and so on." People that put a nickel is somebody that may have in that unit maybe, or you know, in the Marines or Army or Navy or well, whatever it was, they put a nickel there. And then if they were part of that company or battalion or so on, maybe a family, you know, their family, they would put a dime. And so they'd lay these coins right there by their picture. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. So I reached out to our group leaders and said, "Hey, you go on four of these trips a year. I'm going to see if I can't get you some of these wheat pennies, for instance, during that era in the 40s, you know, or you know, and I'm going to get you maybe some of these silver nickels. We're going to do that and give out to the families or something. But maybe you could hand these out to your people that come on these trips, and they could put this penny and this nickel on maybe a thought. I thought that'd be kind of a cool." You know,
it's a very cool thing. My advice, though, ladies and gentlemen, stay away from them wooden nickels and go ahead and embrace the silver nickel of the World War II era. They're 35% silver. And they're at the best price, the least spread you can get right now from Brian Russ, RussKoenigift.com. How many of them do you have? Do you have millions of them? We need millions of them, Brian.
No. I just bought 100,000 of them, though.
100,000 of them, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 150,000. Kelly, I kind of think stay away from the wooden nickels, but go for these silver nickels, though. They're pretty sweet.
Well, wooden nickels actually were a thing, and they came out during the Depression. So we might end up going back to having nickels again. So
when they start having wooden nickels in the Depression, we'll just start pulling out our silver nickels, and let's see which one buys more.
Yeah, well, if you don't have anything to spend, you know, and the thing we have to worry about, maybe we don't have inflation. Maybe we have deflation. You know, that's what happened in the Depression. Prices went down, which meant wages went down. Everything went down. That's why everything was depressing.
Yeah, depression. Yeah. There you have it. By the way, though, and the good part about wooden nickels, though, is if you don't have any, you can always go out and, you know, chop off a tree limb and start to whittle one, can't you?
Yeah, hobo nickel. They carved it. Well,
I'm whittling a nickel so I can have some money, you know.
Right.
Very strange how this all works, ladies and gentlemen. I say it's a shame they raised the debt ceiling. They're criminals, and it must stop. But until we, the people, demand it, nothing's going to happen. In the meantime, you can protect your family, though. Get a little bit of constitutional currency in your portfolio. RussCoinandGift.com. You got a friend in the honest money business. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Kelly.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Glad to be with you.
Thanks. It was good being here.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, RussCoinandGift.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 1st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, we talked to Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan of RustQuinnandGift.com. Brian has a bunch of silver nickels available right now. The cool part about these nickels is they are 35% silver. They cost about $1.50 each to buy. They're only 7 cents above melt value in terms of the cost. So it's as close to spot as you can possibly get. Each one of them costs about $1.50 for a nickel. But you get real silver. They're World War II nickels. They printed in World War II, or I should say minted in World War II. They're incredible coins, and the reason I bring them up is because they're a good deal right now. Brian bought 150,000 of them with his coin shop and is making them available with the least amount of premium and the least amount of spread for anybody who's interested in them. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, if you want to learn more. We talked about the debt ceiling being increased or getting rid of it altogether. Folks, think about your own checkbook. Senator Rand Paul says your personal checkbook versus the government checkbook. Basically, the point is, shouldn't the same principles apply? And the answer is yes, they certainly should. But sadly, you know what? They're interested in passing the buck so that it's not on their watch that they have to make very, very difficult decisions. Our prayers are that we can get a handle on this someday, ladies and gentlemen, because we're just passing the problem to the younger and younger and younger generations. And at some point, someday, somebody will be forced to deal with a reckoning. Our prayer is we can take action sooner than later, and we can do our very best instead of crashing the plane, so to speak. We can plan for a softest landing as we can possibly get. That is our hope. But it starts with honesty. Honesty is the issue. All right, we have an incredible guest today. His name is Joe Crouch. He's the inventor of a system called iTarget. Train with iTarget to learn how to be a better shot. Train with iTarget to learn how to be a better shot. iTargetPro.com is the website. Joe, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you, Sam.
Hey, tell me a little bit about you before we get started on how you invented this product.
I was living in California. I grew up in Florida, but I moved out to California, and I'm back in Florida, I should say now, since the taxes and everything, the insanity of California. But while I was in California, I was working in the film industry and working on television and movies and stuff, and developing whenever an actor would work a phone or a computer screen or something, that content had to be created specifically for that scene. So I kind of self-taught myself a little bit about programming computers and phones and stuff. So I had to learn to make apps. And I had a gun in my safe and a Glock, and my wife was scared to use it. And so I started researching, well, how can I get her to be want to practice or not be scared of the gun? And I found out that, these laser bullets have been around for a long time, but there is no real products that used an app technology to be able to detect a laser bullet. So I put those skills that I'd been honing, working on film and television, to develop my own product. And it's been quite successful. So basically what it is it's an app. And it's a device that holds your phone, and the phone's camera looks at a target, and you use this laser. You buy the specific caliber for your firearm, and we have many calibers available. and that goes right in the chamber of the gun. And the laser has no rim on it, so it doesn't get extracted when you re-rack it or whatever. It stays in there. So what you do is you shoot at the target, and the phone's camera sees where the laser hits. And on your phone screen, you've got the live view of the target, and it superimposes the shot. So you can basically see where you're hitting, and it keeps track of your score. There's other game modes, and we've come out even since then with a new product, the iTarget Cubes, which allow you to set up these cubes throughout your house. But the short end of the story, though, with that is that my wife actually now loves going to the gun range and shooting real guns. So it was through this product to introduce her and safely train her, I was able to get her into that mindset where she's no longer fearful, respectful. You know, you teach good gun control still, safety and all those things, but she's not scared of it. And I think that people that just buy a gun and keep it in a gun safe and, you know, never practice with it or anything, you know, a lot of times those same people, if something happens, aren't going to be well prepared. They're going to be too nervous. They're not going to know, like, how to rack the gun or if it's loaded or if it jams, what to do or any of that stuff, because they don't have hands-on experience with it enough. So really, when I invented the product, that was my target market, because that's kind of how my family was at the time. It's like we weren't practicing enough. Now we actually go out into the range and practice with real ammo, you know, like once a month or so, but we can practice at home every day. And it's because it's fun to do. You can actually compete with people with this and stuff. You actually practice more and you save all that money. You know, going to ammo got pretty expensive during COVID. It's come down a bit, but
amen
at
to
some
that.
Point, it was a dollar a round. Yeah.
All right. So tell me how this works then, so I understand. I'm using my own gun. Whatever gun you want is the gun you're using. So you're holding the weight of the gun in your hand, all that kind of stuff. It's fairly normal in terms of a day-to-day interaction. I then buy this system from you. There's one of two systems, but I buy that and I get what? I get the phone app that I install, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can download the phone app from Google or Apple.
Okay. I install that. Yeah. I get the ammo, which is the laser ammo, right?
Yeah, with the iTarget Pro system, we have kits that include the laser. You select the laser, and then, yeah, it comes with that, with the kit, with the target and everything.
So I get the targets, I get the ammo, I get everything in the kit, and then I can work with that. And then there's replacement ammo that you can buy and replacement targets, et cetera, right?
You don't need replacements because it's never damaged. It's just a laser hitting it. So it just stays in your thing. You're just shooting it with the laser. It stays in the holder of the target. And basically the device is actually, I call it the iTarget sled. It's a device that holds your phone. It's a phone holder. It has like an amplification for the sound because it makes the bullet shot sound when it detects the laser. So it's like this cone-shaped thing that passively amplifies your phone's sound. And the phone's camera is pointed at a target, and you shoot at the target, and the phone's camera sees that. So it sees the red flash of the laser when you shoot your gun. So, yeah, use your real gun, use your real sights. So you're getting experience with your actual firearm. And, you know, for example, one thing that even when you go to a range, many ranges won't let you practice pulling from a draw, you know, because it's just too dangerous. Sometimes people, you know, accidentally misfire, they put their finger on the trigger. Well, with this product, you can practice in your home safely because there's no chance of a misfire. As long as you make sure you have the laser in the gun, you can't have a misfire because the laser goes where the bullet would go, right in the chamber. You know, you keep all ammo out of the room and you have common sense, you're sure that the laser's indeed been there. But you can safely practice, you can teach, I taught my kids, you can teach safe gun safety rules to people that are brand new without any fear of, you know, an accidental discharge or anything like that. You know, it's a totally safe way to practice. And it's also fun, and you're using your real gun and doing that. And so a lot of people have, we've had quite a success with it. We kind of started an industry in a way, because this is the first product of its kind that used a phone app to do this. And, you know, I started kind of an industry. Now there's probably like 5 or 6 companies trying to copy the idea. So we've come out with new products now with the iTarget cubes.
All right. So when I get one of these bullets, then does it take batteries or how does this work?
Yeah, they have 3 little watch batteries in the laser. So basically it has a rubber end cap on it. And that unscrews, and there's 3 small batteries. They're cheap. We sell, you know, it comes with an extra set. When you buy the laser, it has 3 in it and an extra set, and they last 5,000 shots. So, you know, they last quite a while. We also, it's like 10 batteries for $6.75, I believe it is, on our website. So they're not expensive.
So it's dirt cheap to do. And then the only time you need different lasers is if you have different, if you want to have multiple guns, you need multiple lasers. And or if you have different calibers, you got to have lasers for the calibers, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like if say you have 3 different 9mm guns, you can always just, you know, put it from one gun to another. So you don't need 3 9mm, you know, you just pull it out.
Yeah, unless I want multiple people to be able to shoot at the same time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then another point I should make, though, depending upon...
Hey, can you skip the break? Go ahead, Joe.
So one of the points that should make those, depending upon your gun, some guns you have to re-rack to reset the trigger each time. This is dry fire training. People should look up the benefits of dry fire training because police departments use it. Professional shooters dry fire more than a live fire. You know, it's a dry fire just means you're shooting without live ammo. So, you know, the history of it is well proven. The benefits of it are well proven. Doesn't mean that you still shouldn't go to a range once in a while and experience, you know, especially someone who's never shot a gun with live ammo, to experience the noise and the recoil. But the fundamentals can be taught and learned, and the marksmanship can be gained with dry fire training. Because when you pull that trigger, that's where the bullet's going to go, you know, when you pull the trigger. It's not so much, you know, there's some people that think that recoil is going to affect the shot, but that's recoil happens after the bullet's left the chamber. So the shot's going to go where you're aiming when you pull the trigger. And like a Glock, you'll have to re-rack it each time. Some guns are double action where you won't have to re-rack it each time. So I suggest people, if that's an issue with them, that they know how their gun works dry firing without a laser, that's how it's going to work with the laser. So
understood. Now there's 2 systems. You got the iTarget Pro. That's kind of the first system. Then the iTarget Cube.
Yeah.
Really, the Cube one just expands the iTarget Pro to the next level, which means instead of having a target, having your cell phone pointed at that target, you get basically a map of all these different targets around your house that you can move to and quickly shoot. And then the app keeps track of how fast you're able to shoot at cubes, right?
Yeah. The cubes are really fun. I mean, I wouldn't suggest the cubes for someone that's brand new because it's a smaller target area that you're trying to hit. And you're acquiring different targets, you know, but for someone that has more experience and is, you know, really good at hitting a target already, these are a lot of fun and allow you to practice more drills, have one-on-one head-to-head competitions. We went to SHOT Show this year and, we had head-to-head competitions the whole time with people just coming by, and it was a lot of fun. So basically the cubes have a different app to control them. You use your home's Wi-Fi network. And so the cubes connect to your home's Wi-Fi, so as your phone controls them through that. And you can have, we've had 20 cubes on the network before. So we sell them in 3 packs and singles, so people can just get 3, or they can just buy 1 if they want and just add another 1 or 2 later. So you tell the app we have different drills where, you know, on the app when you press go, gives you a choice. So do you want them to just, one will beep, and that's one you shoot, and then it times you, then the next one will beep. Or you can just do a clearing drill where they'll all beep at once, and you have to see how fast you can shoot them all, which that's kind of fun when we've set them up in our warehouse where we'll start at the front door, and we'll have them spread throughout the warehouse, and we'll see who can go and complete the course and shoot them all the quickest. So it really allows for, especially for guys that are just, in a man cave type situation, if you have something like that down there, it's really a lot of fun. But the thing is, if you get good hitting this, the target's about 2 inches. So if you get good at hitting that at a distance, I mean, you're going to be shooting the wings off a fly.
All right, so let me understand. Do you start with the iTarget Pro and then add cubes to it, or is it a separate system that you buy entirely?
It's a whole separate product. The iTarget Pro is a standalone thing. It has a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that goes into it that has the target on it when you buy it. It's already printed, and that's what you're shooting at. And your phone's in the sled, pointed at, you know, that your phone's just locked in there because that's what's detecting the laser. This other product, your phone just goes in your pocket or wherever. We sell wristbands. You can put it on your wrist, armbands where your phone can go on your arm if you want, or you could just hold it. And so it's a whole different product. They don't interact with each other. They're just kind of for different specifications for as far as how you want to train.
Yeah, if your goal is to kind of get your wife started on guns or your kids started on guns and you want to talk about safety and everything else, then you start with the iTarget Pro. If you kind of say, hey, I want to see how quick I can get, I want to see how quick I can quick draw and I can do this and that and I can run around and do things on the move and things like that, then you want more of the cubes. You can buy one system and then eventually buy the second system and use them for completely different purposes. If you have multiple people, you'd probably want more of the cubes. Because, again, everything can be kind of Wi-Fi together in this network, whereas the other one is more of a target practice for people. You could set up two or three guns and then just, you know, pass the guns for different people to take turns, kind of like people do more at a range, right?
Yeah. It would be basically if you're using multiple people on the iTarget Pro system, it'd be just like shooting at the same target at a range. You wouldn't necessarily know who shot what unless you actually go up and you can reset the app and start over. So that's kind of how we would do it. You can also use your stream your phone to your television with all these other, you know, Apple TVs and Android Fire Sticks and stuff that let you stream your phone to your TV. So you can actually see it on your TV if you want to also have like a one-on-one competition with something like that where you one person shoots, you know, they shoot, say, 10 shots or whatever, see what their overall score was, and then clear it and the next person would go. And so you can compete that way. But the cubes let you do it head to head, like a quick draw, because you can each have two cubes, you know, say you have four cubes total and you could, like, you know, say this name, you can rename them. So we'll name cubes one and two, Sam one, Sam two, and then Joe one, Joe two, and then press go. They all beep at once and we're going to be timed on how fast we can shoot our two cubes. And we can look at the app and see, oh, you know, I beat you by half a second or whatever, a tenth of a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's educational. It's safety. It's training. It's all mixed into one. It saves a lot of money on ammo. It saves because it's inexpensive. It's safe. The kind of the key here for Joe Crouch is, you know what? It's safe, folks. You can have iTarget. You can train with iTarget to learn how to be a much better shot, and you don't have to spend a bunch of money. You don't have to plan going to the gun range or going out in the country somewhere. You can just do it in the comfort of your own home. To learn more, iTargetPro.com. Now, one of the things I thought was really cool is that you use solid, real brass. And so the laser bullets are made from the highest quality brass. That way it doesn't mess up your gun at all, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's the same material. It can't damage your gun. It's, you know, brass is going to be softer than the hardened steel of your gun or anything like that. So it's not going to damage your gun. People are worried about firing pins, you know, hitting, you know, because there's the whole thing about people say don't dry fire your gun because it'll damage your firing pin. That really was specific for rimfire. That's how that kind of became a big thing, was the rimfires were more damaged by that. But with these lasers, it's the same thing as a snap cap. I don't know if you know what those are, but, you know, just basically little plastic bullets that people would put in their gun so it would be safe to dry fire because the firing pin is hitting something. So when you have the laser in there, the firing pin is hitting something. It's not just hitting, you know, just going to its full motion and not hitting anything, but it's hitting the back of the laser bullet, which is a rubber end cap, which is just like a snap cap, which then triggers the laser to fire. So it's totally safe for your firearm. You know, we have several different handgun calibers available, a few different rifle calibers available. you know, usually all the most common ones, 9, 40, 45s, 38s, 380s, 10 millimeter, 223 for the AR-15, 7.62 by 39.
And the SKSs.
You have the blackout. Yeah, so, you know, lots of different calibers available. And, you know, if we don't have the caliber you want, just, you know, we're kind of keeping track on what we get a lot of demand for. So those are the, we've added several calibers throughout the last few years. And so, you know, we listen to our customers, we take feedback, we've improved the app over the years as, you know, we've taken customer feedback and able to do that and be responsive to them. And, you know, we support our Second Amendment. We want patriots to know how to shoot straight and accurately and safely. And, you know, we're all about that.
Yeah, my form of gun control is make sure you don't hit things you don't intend to, right? That's kind of the deal.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, yeah.
I target Pro, ladies and gentlemen. iTargetPro.com is the website. I wanted to mention, since you're a filmmaker, on your website, there's videos that'll show you kind of the three easy steps to dry fire practice at home, too. There's videos there to help, a lot of details, FAQs, and a whole lot more if you want to check out the videos and stuff like that, Joe.
Yeah, we have on YouTube, there's lots of demonstration videos. If you go to click on one of our instructional videos on the website, you can go to the YouTube page from there, and there's lots of videos that I've demonstrated with. And because when it first came out, also, it was the first product of its kind and really took off, and a lot of customers did their own videos. There's tons of videos on YouTube about it. So if anybody has any questions about it, I'm sure they can go on there and find some reviews of it.
All right, we're about out of time. What have I overlooked that you want to mention to everybody, number one? And number two, what's the future? What's the next product for you guys?
Well, we got some things we're working on each other not talk about because we got a lot of competition now. So, but there's definitely some things in the future that we'd like to kind of, you know, that we basically, what I saw in the gun industry was people would have these products. Like, for example, when I came out with iTarget, a company called Laserlight had a standalone target that was electronic, but it was $500. And it didn't, when you shot it, it didn't do anything. You'd have to shoot the lower corner, and it had light sensors in it, and it had LED lights. So the light sensor closest to LED light would light up. And so my thought was, why is there not an app that can just detect the red laser and put it exactly where it is? And why does it have to cost $500? So, you know, my whole thing was like, make this whole product with the target and the laser for what they were just selling the laser for. So there's a lot of things I think that, you know, for people to train with, and in the it's just seem kind of overpriced for what they are, honestly, because it's kind of a niche market in a way, I guess. So they think that they can charge you more for it. So we've been trying to kind of, you know, do really cool products at a price that people can afford. And, you know, I mean, the cubes are a little more expensive, but it costs, you know, they got a full on computer in them. They're, you know, interfacing with your Wi-Fi and your phone and a lot of technology in them. So it's up to the, you know, I think there's something for everyone. They just want to get a laser, they can practice shooting at light switches around their house. So
ladies and gentlemen, look, we're talking about faster, cheaper, better. iTargetPro.com. Watch the videos. Check it out. There's two systems you can choose from. Joe Crouch, our guest today, inventor of iTarget. The idea is train with iTarget to learn how to be a better shot. Two great firearm training systems available at your fingertips. The iTarget Pro, the iTarget Cube, they're both available. And, man, it's just pretty fascinating to think I can literally do target practice at home, and it's only in three easy steps. Kids, no problem. Wives or other people that may not feel too comfortable, no problem. iTargetPro.com. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you, Sam.
There he goes. Joe Crouch doing a phenomenal job. iTargetPro.com. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden says the House took a critical step forward last night to prevent a default after the chamber voted to pass the debt ceiling bill 314 to 117. Biden called it a bipartisan compromise. The bill did reach the Senate late last night and could head for a vote today. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy after the vote.
As an American, tomorrow will be better than today. I had to be an optimist that every day I woke up and said, maybe today the president would change his mind. Maybe today he'd want to put the country first. Maybe today he'd want to meet. But he never did. Not until our entire conference passed the bill.
The sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un this morning accused the United States of gangster-like hypocrisy for criticizing her country's failed launch of a military spy satellite that crashed into the sea after launch. Kim Yo-jong said North Korea's efforts to acquire space-based reconnaissance capabilities were a legitimate exercise of its sovereign right and restated the country's rejection of UN Security Council resolutions that ban it from conducting any launch involving ballistic missile technology. Today is June 1st, the traditional start of the Atlantic hurricane season.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says this one is expected to be less active than the past few years. Meteorologist Matt Hennig takes a look.
Forecasters are actually calling for a near-average season this time around with 12 to 17 named tropical systems. 5 to 9 of those systems are forecast to become hurricanes, and 1 to 4 of those major hurricanes, meaning they are a Category 3 storm or higher at peak intensity.
The Atlantic hurricane season lasts until the end of November. I'm Skip Kelly.
Chipotle is giving away free burritos during the NBA finals that start tonight. The company announced that every time a player makes a three-pointer, the company will give away 300 free meals. Follow Chipotle on Twitter to get in on the Mexican food action. This is USA News.
Hello there. My name is Seychelle, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is the punch of flavors that's unlike any other. You get the crispy tenderness of the chicken and that hint of sourness from the pickles. Ta-da!
Hey, I'm Juan, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is you know you're going to get chicken that's crispy, golden, and juicy. This is the gold standard of chicken sandwiches.
Order the original Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real customers paid for their testimonials.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Our dear brother in Liberty, Pete Sepp, back from World Travels. National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Pete Sepp is the president of NTU, and he's got a report from us from, look, there's folks that want to reduce taxes and have tax transparency and accountability, not only in the United States, but around the world. Welcome, Pete.
Great to be here.
Now, where did you go?
Well, this was the European meeting of the World Taxpayers Associations. That was an organization we, NTU, co-founded back in 1988. It was announced at the Foreign Press Club in Washington, D.C. We had delegates from sister and brother taxpayer groups from 12 countries at that time. Now we have more than 50 member and observer organizations from more than 30 countries around the world. And people in attendance came as far as Nepal and Japan and Korea. We had guests from the Republic of Georgia, Germany, France, United Kingdom, Canada, Argentina, all over the world to convene to discuss the common problems facing taxpayers around the world and what we're going to do about them. A lot of fascinating reports and a lot of information that's going to be useful not only for organizations like mine in the so-called Anglosphere, the United States, Canada, and United Kingdom and others, but in countries where we don't often think there are taxpayer revolts and taxpayer movements. One thing I learned right off the bat, the organization in the Republic of Korea has over 600,000 members, 600,000 people online following their organization. When you think about that, and the Republic of Korea has a lot of folks there, but if you adjusted that for the United States population here, that would be an organization of a good 3 million people. That's incredible, incredible. And it's fascinating to see that kind of scale of people who are speaking out and doing their best to limit government in their own backyard. And then you find organizations from a place like Nepal that are just getting off the ground, but they have almost as much advanced technology as we consider ourselves to have, because you can't communicate any other way in such a remote country. So they have a very advanced system of email and website communication to keep each other informed about local budgeting in Nepal.
That is incredible. Now, I want to make one thing very clear so that our listeners don't get confused. You know, the World Economic Forum and a lot of these other global international groups, their goal is to unite the world under some kind of governance that would breach the sovereignty of the United States. This group is completely different. The goal is to reduce taxes in given countries, to share information that's valuable and helpful, to reduce, to create transparency and accountability. But there's no effort to create any global tax commission at this level. It's merely a consortium of groups that want to get together and find out how to make sure that there's transparency and accountability in taxes. So it's kind of the opposite approach is the point, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We actually have among the principles of this organization, and folks are welcome to check out the website. It's worldtaxpayers.org, where they can see not only the member organizations, but also about our mission. And the mission is a very simple one. And to your point, it's not about actually promoting big government. What we're saying is we promote lower tax rates, limited government, and more individual freedom. We stimulate networking and sharing of ideas between different taxpayer protection groups. We encourage research comparing taxes and government spending worldwide with the goal of encouraging tax competition among nations. In other words, working to make countries freer and helping each other do that in a healthy, competitive way. You could consider it almost the polar opposite of something like the World Economic Forum.
Now, the interesting thing about this, too, is this competition, though, brings big investor dollars to certain countries. I don't want to use the word expense necessarily, but in favor of where the money is best used and best prospered, so to speak. That's a huge advantage to this collaboration, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I can tell you, I hear that time after time from delegates who attend these conferences, those from the developing world. The number of folks I hear from, for example, from Ghana, from Kenya, from countries, again, like Nepal or countries in Central America, they say, please stop sending us your government aid dollars. We want investment dollars. We want the private sector coming here, and we want to develop the policies that will attract that kind of investment. Government aid dollars, number one, they come with a lot of strings attached. Number two, they're generally simply delivered to the foreign government receiving the aid, and it never gets to people anyway. And number three, there's so much graft and corruption at the government level that, once again, it's not doing a whole lot for the general economy and the taxpayers who are actually working in the private sector to grow that economy.
And it's surprising these people from these other countries. You would think they might not understand the free enterprise system or free markets, but they get it. They're saying, hey, bring us investment dollars. Let us compete. Let us do so in the free market with a free enterprise system, and let us show you what we can do. Believe it or not, that grows the economic pie for their country. You could have a smaller tax burden, but more dollars, even in government coffers, with that kind of a plan, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely so. And there are plenty of lessons for us in the United States to learn. I was able to get a fascinating presentation from some activists in Estonia, a very small Baltic country, but their government is so free enterprise oriented that they have set performance goals for citizens as well as foreign individuals who want to start a business in Estonia. And they have developed a goal, and they meet it, where you can go online and start a business and sign up for all the tax and regulatory things you need online in less than an hour. They guarantee that is all the paperwork you're ever going to have to go through to start a business in their country. Can you imagine a goal like that here in the United States?
Hey, how do we send somebody over there to get a page from the playbook, Pete? I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, is there even a local government that takes less than an hour for your regulatory requirements?
By the way, are there congressmen and senators? Are there people from the United States, not counting organizations like you and others, but other people who really can change United States policy in the know about all this and involved in trying to mimic those kind of ideas?
Oh, yes, very much so. And in fact, there are a number of Republicans on the House Ways and Senate Finance Committees who are studying these systems. And very importantly, they are resisting these attempts to globalize our tax systems and say, well, no matter what country you reside in or do business in, you've got to pay a minimum tax of at least 15% plus a value-added tax and on and on. That's what the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development is doing right now, the so-called OECD. They've come up with what they call an inclusive framework to require every country on earth, everyone, to levy a minimum business tax of 15% and to create common standards of things like nexus and undertaxed profits and payments so that they can share revenues across borders. That's sort of like misery will love company, and the misery will be spread among all of us.
It's a start, ladies and gentlemen. You got to start somewhere. And I want to tie this to the debt ceiling increase. They just they didn't even increase the ceiling. What they did was get rid of it. The House passed it. I don't know if the Senate will go along or not, if the president will sign it. To me, this is not a good sign because we're just kicking the can down past the next election, Pete.
Well, yes, there's not a whole lot to say hooray in this. I guess you could say one cheer for this plan. Okay, there's a freeze on IRS increases and the funding associated with that. That's a good thing. There are other details we can talk about. I think they got about half a loaf out of this. The trouble is, we're going to need to do a lot more than that.
Hey, can you go ahead and skip the break? Amen to that. And it was this kind of discussion had at these economic forums, too, because you would think that other countries are kind of in the same boat. If we raise the debt ceiling in America, it's going to affect the whole world, Pete.
Yeah, it certainly is. And there was actually discussion from delegates from Hong Kong and Taiwan and Japan, all of whom their countries and individuals in their countries hold a lot of U.S. debt, as does the United Kingdom and Germany. We had folks from there, and they were saying, look, we understand the argument that there has to be some stability and certainty that the United States will make good on the debts it's already engaged in. But hand in hand with that goes responsibility to ensure that in the future, you'll be able to pay those back because you'll have enough fiscal resources. I mean, the United States, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to make good on all the debts we've paid and we've committed to. Well, what does it mean, though, 5 years from now if our entitlement programs are out of control, if there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse going on within the federal government that, say, one out of every four or one out of every $5 is going toward nothing? That, too, weakens the position of the U.S. government at home and abroad and makes it a bad credit risk. You know, there are many things that go into our sovereign credit rating besides the ability to pay back debts. It's the ability to take on future ones. It's the ability to manage your own finances. It's the ability to produce auditable financial statements, which parts of the federal government and many state and local governments still have trouble doing.
Imagine this, Pete. The bank calls me and says, Sam, you bounced the check, buddy. And I say, that ain't possible. And they say, what are you talking about? I said, look, man, I just increased the debt ceiling on my checkbook. Now, I know that sounds laughable, but the point is Rand Paul, senator, basically is saying, hey, what's the difference between our personal checkbooks and government checkbooks? Yes, just because they have the authority to print money. Now, I believe it's unconstitutional. That's a whole nother topic. But other than that, though, shouldn't we be running things the same in terms of accountability, transparency, responsibility, etc.? I think his point's right, Pete.
Yeah. And that's especially true if you compare the U.S. government to a private business, not just a personal household, right? There are differences in what businesses versus governments do. But when you take a look at the basic requirements for a business, if you're publicly traded, you have all these shareholder reports. If you're not publicly traded, generally, your partners and investors still want you to go through an annual financial audit and produce financial statements. If you're a nonprofit organization like mine, the law requires me to file a Form 990 with all kinds of information on how my organization is run, and my donors want to see audited financial statements. Federal government only recently, a couple of decades ago, even committed to trying to produce auditable financial statements. The Department of Defense still hasn't been able to do one. Those are basic requirements in the private sector world that governments just don't seem to be able or willing to follow, and that's going to have to change.
All right, the NTU is saying, hey, we should vote yes on the debt ceiling, right?
Yes, and we're saying don't think that this is the last vote you can take on this kind of financial policy, because there's a whole lot more work to do.
Now, a third of the or a lot of the Republicans voted against it. Mike Lee is against it. Mitt Romney's for it. Why would the NTU be for it? Shouldn't we just hold them responsible? And some are just saying, let's just renege and get it over with, because we're going to be forced to if we don't do something.
Well, I think reneging or defaulting on the debt would be a catastrophic thing for our economy. A lot of shareholders, investors, families that have put aside money for their retirement will see those kinds of investments go down in value. I think that we could very well be in a situation in this divided government where we could have a much worse financial response from government. We could very well see tax increases. We could very well see the imminent demise of Social Security and Medicare, which are already on shaky ground. Can we make some progress in this piece of legislation towards stabilizing the situation? Yeah, I think that when you look at the score of savings that will occur in the next 2 to 3 fiscal years, and you look even further down the line in the 7 to 10 year time frame, you're looking at a budgetary savings of well over $1 trillion on the discretionary spending side. Do I agree with Mike Lee that that's not going to be enough to dig us out of this hole? Yeah, I certainly do. Will I allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good here? Also, no. We need to do something. Take one step forward, and realize that many more steps are ahead. I wish Mike Lee success in the Senate trying to get some amendments done to this package that can still get to the president's desk, pass the House of Representatives one more time, and get to the president's desk and get this signed into law. I hope he fixes a few things in this bill. I will say, even though there's the odds that this might not get any more fixes to it, it's still better than doing nothing.
So let me use an analogy to see if I can kind of hammer this point home. You know, I'm kind of a don't raise the debt ceiling guy because I want to get it all done and I want to do it now. But my patience, which I don't have any of, is kind of part of the problem here. And sometimes I'm the enemy of myself because I want it all done now. And, of course, we're not going to get it done. And therefore, you know, I end up being stuck as part of the problem. The incremental solutions, hey, we got in this problem incrementally. It's certainly part of the way out. So I rebuke myself a little bit by saying that. But the analogy that I would use is this. If we don't raise the debt ceiling, we've pretty much crashed the plane. If we raise the debt ceiling, we have opportunities, if we're wise and careful and we provide appropriate leadership, to now we can say, well, the plane landing isn't going to be pleasant, but we can land the plane without crashing. We can do the least amount of damage to the most amount of people. You know what? It's not going to be a great landing. It's going to be really bumpy. We're going to have to prepare for this. Buckle in, guys. Do all the things that it takes. But we have a chance now not to crash the plane. Is that analogy fair, Pete?
Oh, I think it is fair. And if you look at the history of these debt ceiling fights, you gain an appreciation of the progress that we've made with this current package, but also the things that still have to be done. If you take a look at the last nine debt ceiling packages prior to this one, two of them actually increased federal spending. One of them just barely increased it. So that's three. You have two others who just barely decreased it. There are only two major packages to suspend the debt ceiling that actually significantly reduced federal spending. One of them is the package in front of Congress now, providing $2.1 trillion of deficit reduction over 10 years. The other one, the Budget Control Act of 2011, provided about the same amount of deficit reduction. That was the deal reached between a Republican Congress and President Obama. More than a decade ago, there were lots of things to not like in there, some things to like. Both packages, though, even though they've got about the same amount of deficit reduction in them, have the same problem associated with them, which is, okay, you've made progress in reducing part of the federal budget. Now you've got to get to the tough part. The entitlement spending, the mandatory programs. I don't really know if mandatory is an appropriate definition for any federal program. If we have elected officials, they should be able to reduce the spending in any program. They call it mandatory because they don't want to face the problem. But we do have to face the problem. We kicked that can down the road in 2011. We can't do it now. The first thing Congress is going to have to do if they pass this debt ceiling legislation and the president signs it, they're going to have to turn toward the crisis in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other programs like that.
One of the things people need to remember, too, and I, you know, again, people might say, Sam, you're kind of turning about on what you said before, not to increase the debt ceiling. It all depends on how we didn't increase the debt ceiling versus how we do. I proposed not increasing the debt ceiling, but quickly in single issue bills passing everything constitutional. And then saying, okay, in an effort not to crash the plane, what do we need to pass temporarily or as a bridge so that we don't crash the plane? It's just an opposite way of trying to focus on the problem. Just because that's the solution I would like to see, that's not the solution on the table is the problem, people. So as good as my ideas are, if they're not on the table, they're not going to go anywhere. So we've got to kind of remember that. We can't let perfect be the enemy of good. We've got to work on it one little bit at a time. Most importantly, what we've got to remember, in my opinion, is this. We now have time to take action that we need to take. If we squander that time, shame on us. And that really is the message we should all be thinking about, right, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we wish the very best to folks like Mike Lee, to folks like Rand Paul, even to the Republicans in the House of Representatives who could not bring themselves to vote for this package. Their leadership is going to be needed now more than ever on other important fiscal questions facing this country. And this legislation that may pass the Senate, looks like it will. It would, in its current form, get the president's signature. What that's doing is creating a pathway to reducing spending, or at least controlling spending, in part of the federal budget. We've got to worry about all parts, though. And what I view this as is a wake-up call saying, well, now that we have your attention on this part of the budget, we've got to look at everything. We have to go through it piece by piece, maybe with your formula, Sam, and saying, is this constitutional or not? Is this part of the enumerated powers of the federal government? If it isn't, we're going to have to set it aside because we simply cannot afford the current business of funding everything and anything simply because it feels good.
And the problem with just simply saying no to the debt ceiling, creating a calamity at the end, is eventually the fallout's so great they eventually are forced to cave. Okay, that's what happens every time. Even when they hold out and shut down the government for a while, eventually they're forced to cave. What we need to do is put plans in place that slowly but surely say, all right, the plane's, 50,000 feet in the air. We're going to now work on a way to bring us to 40,000 feet. In the meantime, we're going to prepare the people. You know what? Get your seatbelts on. Make sure that you, make sure all that the baggages are stored safely so that people don't get hit in the head with missiles as we deal with this thing. And we can start to put things in place here to try to deal with it in a responsible way. That's what responsible people do, is they plan for the future. They buy time in the present to take necessary corrective action. And that's really where our focus should be as a country. I don't care about Republicans and Democrats or anybody else. That's where we should be focused together, Pete.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the missing ingredient from the 2011 Budget Control Act. The aftermath of that gave us precisely that opportunity to take the airplane on a more responsible course. We prepared the runway, we prepared the instruments, we prepared the passengers on the plane, and we gave them a good glide path to start taking responsibility. And unfortunately, we squandered a good 12 years, and we find ourselves in this current situation. Well, I view the current legislation, the 2023 Fiscal Responsibility Act, as our second chance. I don't think we're going to get a third one. Let's take this chance, this opportunity, and say we're going to do things differently. We're going to realize that this is our last shot at getting things right for the finances of this country and the well-being of the American people.
And my response to everyone else is this. What are the alternatives? Are they on the table? See, my alternative is better. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm convinced my plan's better. But it's not on the table, people. Okay, we've got to start to not dismiss ourselves or excuse ourselves from the table because we believe the perfect, it'll just be the enemy of good and we'll get neither done. Is that what we want? I don't think so. Folks, this is America. This isn't left, right. This isn't partisan. This is we, the people. NTU.org can help with their think tank education and partnership. Check it out, NTU.org. Pete, thank you so much, sir. Keep us posted.
Will do. God bless.
There he goes. Pete Sepp doing a phenomenal job as always. I am Sam Bushman. This is LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.